Now, I understand tonight at the Araluen Arts Centre, the gallery, you're invited down there for the opening of Still In My Mind, Gridgee Location Experience and Visuality. Now, that's the latest work of artist and curator Brenda Croft. She's with us this morning. And the actual term, I still got that land, I still got on my mind, comes from Vincent Lingiari, of course, seen as the father of the land rights movement. Led and was part of the Wave Hill walk-off in 66. And we must be getting to the anniversary, which make it, like, do your sums brash, the 50... Oh, Brenda Croft, help me. I can't count.
53rd.
It is 2019, which is very hard to understand.
Yep. Scary.
Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Opening tonight. Now, this show's been on the road a bit already, so it's more than a work in progress. This is what you'll see tonight. So tell us the background of this, because you've got a direct family connection to Alice Springs as well.
Well, my dad, Joe Croft, was a resident at the bungalow from about 1933 to 1940. And he'd come there. He was born on VRD around 1926. The earliest records I've found of him are in the Timber Creek Police Letters book from 1927. He was taken up to Carlin Compound, and then with a number of other kids, about 30 boys, Aboriginal boys from Carlin, went to Pine Creek Boys Home for about 2 years in 1931, and then came down to various iterations of the bungalow.
Yeah, because the bungalow, I'm just trying to remember the various, because of course it started in the centre of town, moved out the Jay Creek.
That's right, he was at Jay Creek.
And then finally went to the current site of the telegraph station later on. So tell us about the show, because it obviously is working on that, what Vincent Lingiari said, that land, I still got it on my mind. So that's a departure point.
Yes, and we're really, really fortunate. We have audio of Vincent Lingiari actually saying those words, speaking in Gurindji language. But then, and I remember listening to that, it's at the start of Gurindji Blues by Ted Egan.
Yep.
And so it's the lead-in from Vincent, and I was listening to it through the computer. And the way he just says, I'm talking about that country, I still got it on my mind, and that's all the words I got to say. And I thought, that's it. You know, everything that drove him in that fight with his countrymen and women was that country. It was about having that country back. And so I kind of flipped that a little bit to being still in my mind. Mm. You carry, and if you're a person like myself who's a descendant of Stolen Generation Mob, there's that constant thing of, where is home and where is country if you haven't grown up on country?
I was about to say, where does that mean? Given through your father, VRD, as you said, to Carlin, yep, in Darwin, Pine Creek, then on to Central Australia, Jay Creek and beyond, where is home?
Well, it's multiple places. Mm. It's physical locations. It's an emotional location as well. I mean, my dad's buried out at Kalkaringi in the cemetery out there. My brother and I took him home after he died in 96, and he was buried the day before the 30th anniversary of the Gurindji walk-off. So Whitlam was out there,
yep.
Tom Uren, Brian Manning, Uncle Mick Rangiari, all the old mob were there, and it was really important to us that he went back home. But, I mean, I was born in Perth. My brother was born in Lismore. We lived all over the country, as many people who've come from that experience of displacement and dislocation.
Diaspora.
Yeah. Well, I actually don't see it as a diaspora, because we know where our homelands are, but what has happened under the policies of this country, we've grown up in different places. So I live in Canberra, and I'm always cognizant that I'm a visitor in other First Nations people's country, Ngiyambri and Ngunnawal people there. And I carry who I am, though, as a Gurindji Malian Mutbara woman through my dad within me, and that makes me who I am. But I'm all the other things that make up who I am as well. So,
because this is a collaboration with many people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how did that develop?
Well, I'd thought about it for a very long time, and the idea of collaboration can sound very good on paper, but it can also be a very uneven thing in terms of who controls things.
Yeah.
And so I just kept going back out home, and that's one of my homes, is out at Kalkaringi, and talking with family and community there and asking them, would they be involved in helping put together an exhibition that wasn't just about my story but about their journeys and their family's journeys as well. Mm. So,
and how do they see home and sense of place when they've never left a place, and for you, who's been literally journeyed around the country, a father who was taken from that country and journeyed around. Do you get a sense of the perspective you have if you've never left there?
Well, I think people do travel a lot, and they.
But in the sense, never being forced to leave
they've been made to live in different parts of country, and country has been also restricted. I mean, as you said, he was the father of the national land rights movement, even though there'd been actions prior to that.
The Bark Statement and things like that.
And, you know, other stations, there'd been walk-offs before as well.
In the Pilbara, and also in the 40s in the Pilbara, the massive... Jock McLeod?
Don McLeod.
Don McLeod.
I keep thinking of Don McLean.
But you're right, but that was... That's the sidebar we'll go to, but that is an amazing, still vaguely untold story. There's been movies about that, but it's still an amazing, the pastoral strike in the Pilbara in 46, 47.
And they stayed off. They never went back.
And started a mining company.
Yep. I mean, that's, you know, and these are the stories. I also say to people, this wasn't the only act of, you know, this was one of many. It was one that garnered national attention and international attention. So people out home are incredibly generous to people like myself, because I'm one of many who come back. And it's really nerve-wracking when you first turn up, because you think, oh, you know, is my place here?
Where do I fit in?
Do I have a place here? And I've been lucky enough to be going back since the early 90s, and following in my dad's footsteps, he went back in the late 80s, and he undertook a lot of oral histories when he was out there, so I had those to draw on as well and was able to take them back to community. And it's been a joyful experience, because it's been over a number of years, and it's been a stumbling experience as well, because, you know, you make mistakes as you're doing things. But the generosity of people out at community has been phenomenal. Mm. And three community members, including who are family, have come down for the opening tonight.
Oh,
two of the artists, and Leah Lehman and Serena O'Donnell, they're resting up after a very long bus trip. And Antoinette Bernard, who's been working on language up there. So I'm really, really happy that they're here with me tonight. And there's archives that go back to the 1920s. I mean, we were able to draw on archive institutions right around the country. There's a wealth of material, old film footage, photographs, documents, the history paintings that artists from community have contributed, repatriated objects such as spears and woomeras and shields and clapsticks and dilly bags and drawings that were given back by people who worked out there in the early 70s.
Yeah.
So it's a real wealth of material to come and see.
And it's all been brought together tonight. Well, I assume you've already put it all... Is everything done and dusted?
Very hard work done by the Araluen Arts Centre people. A big thank you to Stephen Williamson and his cohorts there. It looks fantastic. We went in yesterday. I got into town on Wednesday, so I went in and had a look. And it's absolutely really moving to me that it's here in Alice Springs, because of that connection for Dad. And I really... It's a show that takes a lot of time, and I hope that people will feel that they can come back. They don't have to look at everything at once, because there's actually hours of film footage that I find fascinating. I mean, I don't know about you,
You'll
but
go
I
back
love...
and watch it. No, I think anyone who... I mean, I love archival. We have Liz Marnie, who comes in every fortnight to talk about... We post a picture from Central Australian history, and we talk about it. And people comment on Facebook about it. So, no, love images. I know radio's not a super, you know, visual medium, but it's something I do love. Opening tonight?
Yes.
6?
6 o'clock, and there's a public program tomorrow with myself and Leah and Antoinette and Serena talking about works in the show and how they feel about working on it, because I can't speak for them. So I really encourage people to come along. I think that's 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. Before I let you go, it's interesting you were sort of commenting and congratulating the Araluen crew on what they do. Do you often get to a show and go, geez, they really stuffed that up?
No, because every venue is different, and every venue I'm just really grateful that they've said yes to taking it. The show looks different in every venue. But, you know, I've been coming out to things at Araluen Arts Centre for many years through my work, and I always love coming and seeing what they have on there.
Fine little venue.
It's
no, that's unfair. It's not a little venue. It's a fine venue.
It's a heartbeat, I think, a heartbeat in Alice. And I mean, I love coming out. You know, there's other things that are on tonight as well, which I think is fantastic that there's a, you know, you've got choice to go to.
It's always busy in Alice Springs. Brenda Croft, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for
having
me. I'm
going to look at the show. Opening tonight at the Araluen Centre from 6 o'clock, and also the floor talks happening tomorrow. It sounds like around 10. That's around opening time at Araluen, so get down there.